Hey sis, welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. Now, real quick before we get into the show, did you know that this podcast is a spinoff from a book that I wrote? Yes, Mom Keys to Mental Peace, 12 Tips to Become a Healthy Mom and Raise Healthy Children. In this book, I share my story about how I identified toxic patterns of thinking about life and motherhood. I share how God helped me to transform by the renewal of my mind. I didn't want to keep this revelation to myself, so I packaged it in a book to share how you can transform your mindset and lifestyle too. This book is for anyone who desires to break unhealthy generational patterns in their family, want to build healthier and stronger relationships with their children, or for anyone who wants to overcome the battle of negative thoughts in their mind. After reading this book, you will learn how to gain confidence in who you are as a mother, handle unhealthy thinking patterns when they appear in your mind, and position yourself to achieve mom life balance. This book is available wherever books are sold, and the link will be in the show notes. Now let's get to the show. So let's get into it. Hello to everybody joining us for our conversation this morning. So excited to have you here. I'm going to do a quick intro for the pod and then we'll get into it. All right. So welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. I'm your host and sister in Christ, Tari Kaya Allen Butler. And this is a podcast for millennial moms who struggle with limiting beliefs and want to learn how to make over their life and family and faith. Tap in each week for the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast, where you will learn major keys on how to stop coming up short for your goals and start leveling up for the type of lifestyle you desire God's way. Ready to level up? Let's do it. All right. So I am excited about today's conversation. We have a special guest, Miss Kavaya. Is it Watrice or Waitrice?
Watrice. Yeah.
Watrice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Miss Kavaya Watrice, or as some like to call her, Kev. She is a content creator, an app developer, and woman of God. She is the creator of her own app, Her Oasis, that you can download and join to be a part of for daily inspiration. She is also an author. She has a book out called The Makings of a Godly Woman, as well as a new devotional called Forward. So I will have the links to those in the show notes at the end of the episode. Be sure to check that out. And she is also the host of a community called The Society, who she hosts along with Tatum Tamia and Dr. Charlotte Walker. I will have the link to that as well. I'm a part of that society, kind of where I met Kavaya. I joined through Tatum's podcast, but all three ladies have been a blessing and a huge part of my walk with God, with their inspiration, the information they share. I feel like they really come alongside us in this walk, as well as the other women in the community. So be sure to check that out and join as well. So to end Women's Month, happy Women's Month to everybody. We are coming in on the last week of it. But I wanted to do a special conversation dedicated to, as we like to call them, the rich auntie. Okay. So I know my podcast is targeted to millennial moms, but I have a strong feeling that, you know, sometimes society can put value on women if they are a wife or a mom. But I feel like, Kavaya, and I've shared this with you, that you embody the full walk of what it looks like to be a valuable woman, even though that may not be your title, you know, and not to depend on that for your worth or your value here on this world. So I really just wanted to have a conversation with you to share your experience with that. I've heard a little bit about your story, but I felt like my audience or some other women out there could benefit from your story. So hopping into it, can you just share a little bit about your experience in regards to dating, and your desire for marriage and to, start a family. What are some obstacles that you faced in this area, and what lessons have God taught you in this season?
Yeah, so can you hear me well?
Yeah, I hear you good.
I guess I'll speak from like the time that I've been single. I've been single for 2.5 years now. And dating has, it's been up and it's been down. In the beginning of a breakup, you're not really looking to do that. So a lot of it, I feel like for a good chunk of it was just healing. And figuring out what that looks like. And, healing comes in waves and grief comes in waves. Process that. And again, as far as like the dating world, I haven't done too much dating. I was on the apps for a little bit. I deleted them. They weren't for me. I think that I've been introduced to a few people. Instagram is like a dating site. I think that I don't know. It's been interesting. I think one thing I've had to work through is, and I had this conversation with a group of friends of mine, is like when you meet a person, not automatically going into like, okay, is this my husband? You know what I'm saying? That has been a big thing because, for me, I'm looking like, what is this? Is this someone I can see myself being with? But it's not necessarily the most healthiest thing to do. While you do want to know that, you have to take time to just see who a person is, examine their character, observe them, their values and things like that. So I think that has been a bit of an obstacle, just taking the pressure off of it and just letting it be you getting to know this person. Because if we're real, like men are naturally hunters, and when a man wants to pursue you. And so for me, I think just knowing that I'm in control of how this goes, I don't have to answer all your phone calls if I don't want to. Or if this is not working for me, I am allowed, I have the control and the right to say, you know what, I don't really want to take this further. So I think that was an obstacle, just knowing that, I'm really in control of how this goes for real, And so yeah, that's been cool. But I think the main thing I've been learning is just to take my time. And being okay, like I spend a lot of time with myself. So like dating, I haven't been doing a lot of dating, but I've been dating myself. I've been getting to know myself a lot and just like pouring into me. I love spending time with myself. So like I go out to eat by myself, I go to the movies, I buy myself things. Like I truly enjoy my company. And I know that's solely because of all the work that I've put into me, And you have those lonely moments, especially like I know in the beginning. I was telling my YouTube channel this. I used to get sad like every weekend at one point when Friday night would hit because I was like, I want to get dressed for a date night. You know what I'm saying? And there was nothing going on. But that was pretty short-lived because then I would just end up doing something. And for me, I'm really big on alignment. So like, I don't want to just be going out and getting, a nice dinner and it's like this person is trash. For me, it has to be aligned. So I would say that's some of the obstacles, lessons God has taught me. I would say definitely obedience and even like obedience in the dating process. I was just, just posted a YouTube video about this, how like, I had prayed one night, like, God, should I even go on a date with this man? And if I'm not supposed to go on a date with him, have him cancel the date. And the man canceled the date the next morning. And I just want people to know, like, you can include God so much in your dating process, like as much room as we make for him, he really can have. But I would say obedience, because even in that, like we didn't go on the date, but like we ended up meeting like a little link up type. And I see exactly why the Lord wanted to protect me from that. So definitely obedience. I think another thing he's teaching me is just like prayer and worship is the posture of preparing. And also that I'm his bride first, So I would say that for that. Yeah.
Yes,
That was a
girl. No, but you touched on a lot of good points. Me and my husband, we got together in high school, and I've had this conversation with friends before. Like, I don't know what dating looks like, and I feel like a lot of us at that age, it's like when we got with somebody, it automatically mirrored a marriage. Like, oh, I'm fully committed to you. oh, you have my full loyalty and it's just me and you and I'm not talking to anybody else. And I feel like, I think about what's her name? Steve Harvey's daughter. Yes. Like how people are on her about who she's dating, but I'm like, do we know what dating looks like? Like it is, I feel like I think of it about like renting an apartment versus buying a home. Like when you rent, you have that freedom to leave that space if it doesn't work out for you, if it doesn't fit your needs. And that's what dating looks like. Okay, I'm figuring you out. What does your character look like? I'm learning you, you're learning me. And it is that time to really see, like, are we going to work together or is this the potential to work versus just jumping in and committing to something? And now you're stuck and now you're settling and now you're upset and now you're stressed or divorcing later on because you weren't patient and obedient as you shared and really took that time to really just stop and, take your time and feel this person out and really weigh the pros and cons of the relationship. So I feel like that was huge, for you to understand and gain that revelation now in regards to dating. Especially with, I feel like the community now rushing or this imaginary timeline that everybody is on that they will settle, for the aesthetic, or to say that they have somebody. And I just commend you for not, taking that road, really standing strong on what you believe.
Thanks.
So real quick with this. I know in the so for those who don't know, in the Black community, we use the term rich auntie to describe, the Black woman who is successful, who is not married and does not have children. And I just want your take on that. How do you feel about that term, the rich auntie, as it relates to women in that season? And also, what are some other offensive questions or comments that people have made to you in the past? Because for one, sometimes I think people don't realize they're being offensive, like especially the Black community. I feel like we just say stuff because that's what people say. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, I think I love the rich auntie term. I've never really looked at it from, I guess, a negative space, but I see how it can maybe be that if people don't like it. But I think as long as someone is okay with that and they're owning that, the girls are flourishing, they love their nieces and nephews and whoever, I think it's fine as long as someone is okay with it, if that's the era of life that they're in. I love it. So yeah, I think that some of the offensive things could be, I don't know that I've had too many offensive things. Well, let me think.
Well, I wish her. I had one friend who said, most people will come to her and say, well, you must be difficult. You must be the difficult one since, the relationship is always ending or it's taking you so long to find somebody. And she's just like, why does that mean that I'm difficult? Because I'm not settling, for what who I want.
No, that's good. And what I will say on that is like, so there's like this running joke in my friends where like I'm picky, right? And I have completely taken that on and accepted it because when you want kingdom, you need to be picky. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean picky where it's like, oh, nitpicking little things, but with you see things where it's like, this is not in alignment, then you need to be. So for me, it's like, I'll be picky if that means that I'm not settling because I've seen so much settling with people in my family or friends or just people that I know about. Relationships are so important for me. I think because I've seen so much that it's like I'd rather be picky and wait than settle for something that is clearly just not going to work in the long run. Some of other offensive things can kind of be like asking about people from your past when your family, like family asking about people where they know y'all broke up, like y'all forcing it. We not together. Like why are you bringing stuff up like that? So yeah.
Yeah. So y'all, please, if you don't see, I know there's a term like if you don't see me with them,
Yes.
don't ask me
Go ahead. Go
any questions about them. Period. I get it. So how would you say that you have discovered your value as a woman outside of being a wife and mom? I know you shared in the beginning how like you you know, have dated yourself, that self-love, being okay with, you know, doing things by yourself. But what are some other ways that you have found your value outside of those titles in this season?
Yeah. So I think that I may have to do this again, find it again once I do become a wife and a mom.
Yeah.
But I think right now, it looks like just fully investing myself into, like, intimacy with God, right? And I'm not even trying to be too deep, but seriously, when you want to know yourself and find yourself and you want to walk in purpose and you want to just like get to know yourself, see what you're here for, that intimacy time with God is so important. It's so important on multiple layers. For purpose, it's important for you to build trust with God, because my thing is like, I want to build my trust with God before I build trust with a man. And if I'm struggling to trust God, like, that, you know, we clearly got to work on some things. And I think that that intimacy piece of really just like bringing your heart to God and allowing him to heal those voids, heal things, and to show you, you right. I also think therapy was a huge help for me. And showing up and being real and honest and open on those calls and doing the work. And again, just like, I think, asking myself what I really wanted. Like, I have journal. I will literally write in my journal, okay, Kavai, what do you actually want? And I do that over and over, because sometimes what you want changes. And so I think just having that time to check in with yourself is really important. I'm big on like self-reflection and like just figuring out, okay, girl, what do you want? Like, how do you actually feel? And so I think that that is good. And also like having community. I don't know where I would be without my community during this time, because it can be difficult. It can be hard, especially like, you know, I'm waiting. I'm not, you know, out here doing nothing. I'm waiting for my husband, you know, and just to have accountability even for things like that. So I think speaking up too on like what you need from your community is important, because like, okay, let's say I'm not dating. Which can, you know, it can get kind of lonely sometimes. So now I told my girlfriends, hey, every month we need to, you know, link up, because I need that girl time. I need some sort of, you know, connection with people. So I think that, and just learning how I want to be treated, like, although it hasn't been too much in the dating world, but even through speaking with people when I have, figuring out how I want to be treated. And if this person is not showing up that way, okay, I'm learning more about myself and what I do and I don't like. And so I think just having the openness to figure it out has been extremely helpful as well.
Yeah, so it really sounds like, you know, this journey. And I love how you touched on, you know, going deeper with God, or that relationship with God, because, I mean, his word tells us, like, there's a hierarchy, like, once you know who God is, build your relationship with him, then you're able to discover yourself. And I realized for me, that wasn't something I was able to figure out until, you know, years later in the relationship. Granted, like I said, me and my husband were together in high school, so I did not know who I was at that time. You know, there were certain things that I didn't know about myself that I did have to learn later on. But I see the difference in our relationship as a result of me, like, okay, let me back up and get this hierarchy right. Who does God say that I am? Okay, that shows me who I am. And then it spills over into those other relationships. So I feel like, you know, sometimes I understand that marriage and starting a family is like a huge desire. But I think sometimes it can become an idol to where your identity is in that, where it's like, well, I don't have a husband or I don't have children, so that means I'm not important until I get those things. So really doing that self-work, because, child, sometimes we just be out here doing stuff or doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, which is the definition of insanity. And you're getting frustrated with yourself and frustrated with men and feeling like all men are X, Y, Z. But it's like, no, sis, it's the formula that you're doing. Like, take a step back and look at the work. You know how the teacher says, show your work. What work are you doing on the side that you keep getting this answer over and over again? So that was really big for you to touch on that.
Yeah.
All right. So in conclusion, what advice would you give a woman who is 30 plus and feels discouraged about her desire to start a family. She may see everyone around her, you know, getting married, having kids, and she's just really discouraged about what that looks like for her in the future. What advice would you give to her?
Yeah, I would say how you feel is normal, right? I think that we all have moments where it's like waiting for the promises to be fulfilled, or, you know, waiting for the desires of our hearts to be fulfilled. And so one, I would, you know, just kind of sympathize with, like, it's okay to feel discouraged. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm an advocate for we can come in these spaces, but we don't have to stay in them, right? So how are we going to pick ourselves up out of this? And I think that it's okay. It's okay to visualize the family. It's okay to visualize the kids. Put it on a vision board. You know what you want. It's okay to have the vision, but at some point we also have to release it, right? And I think sometimes you have to do that multiple. Like, I don't think that's just a one-time thing, because you're going to have your moments. And I think that's why it's important to continue to be prayerful over it, even while you desire it. And one thing I even plan on doing this weekend is I'm going to write out a whole bunch of scriptures for my marriage, a whole bunch of scriptures over my family and over my children, and just keep it in prayer. Like, I don't know. I want kingdom, right? And so I can only speak to the people kingdom. And I know that that is the best way to be proactive, right? To protect this thing and speak this thing in advance. And so I would say, like, you know, feel what you feel when you feel it. Like, don't brush over it. Bring that stuff to God. Write it out in a journal. Like, whatever you have to do, feel it, but you don't have to stay there. And don't think that it's not going to happen for you. Like, who said that? You know what I'm saying? We have to check our thoughts. I always say, like, let no thought go unchecked, because as soon as you start thinking, woe is me, it's not going to happen for me, a spiral of other thoughts. And then now you're doubting where you could be professing. So I think it's just being mindful when you are in those places where you may be down, and then come, like, making sure we come out of that. So, yeah.
Yes, that is so good. So, so good. I presented a question to my audience a while ago, just pretty much asking the rich aunties, you know, like, what advice would they share? So I presented the question and they shared some answers. But real quick. So one response I got was that it's okay not to have kids or be married if that's what you desire. You are exactly where God wants you. So this makes me go back, I guess, to, like, the question I asked before, like, what are some offensive things that people have said to you? There are people who go up to the rich auntie and will ask them, like, well, where is your husband? Where is your kids? And that's not a desire of theirs. And I feel like society makes them feel like they're wrong or bad for thinking that. So, like, I guess what advice would you give to that girl who is like, but that's not really what I want. Like, how could she respond or still walk in her value, knowing that the societal norms are pressuring her to feel bad about her desire or her decision?
Yeah, I feel like it's important for us to, after conversations like that, take a moment and have another conversation with ourselves, because sometimes it's easy for people's words you start looking at yourself like, dang, should I, you know, you start questioning how you actually feel about something. Like, for me, I've been saying, I don't know if I want a wedding. And I have, you know, people saying, oh no, you deserve a wedding. You should have a wedding. But, like, to just stand on what you feel, to stand on what you want, like, don't let, it's so important that we just protect sometimes those desires of our hearts, and we protect and even the people we have conversations with, you know what I'm saying? And so even though they're bringing it up, like, you don't have to go deep into that conversation. You know what I'm saying? So I would tell her to, like, it's okay. If you don't want that, that's okay. You don't have to live, you know, for our parents' dreams or our auntie's dreams. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay for you to stand on what is or is not in your heart.
You know? Yes, that's so good. And I know I have an older sister who this, you know, is her lifestyle. She's not married. She doesn't have kids. And she travels all over the world with her job. And I can remember having thoughts like, well, I wonder why she isn't married or why she doesn't have kids. But I feel like there's pros and cons to, the single life without a husband and kids versus, having the family. There's pros and cons to everything with it. So it's like, wow, how amazing it is that she gets to travel the world, for her job and see all these different places and do things like that. And she's not wrong for that decision. Like, that's just, it's different. It's just what she wants. So I had to switch the way that even I was thinking about her situation because that's not my life to live. And I think a lot of us have to accept that
Yeah.
pushing our desires or our life blueprint off on other people. And it's like, well, who said that that has to be everybody's?
Right.
The last one someone said is that, it's never too late to have kids. And they mentioned some celebrities like Kenya Moore, Nicki Minaj, Ashanti, and many other women who've been pregnant in their late 30s and 40s. So again, this goes back to like that timeline. Some women, when they hit 30, it's like, oh my gosh, it's getting too late. And they start rushing or, settling, as we've shared before. And it even makes me think about Sarah in the Bible who had a baby at 100. Now, not saying that, I mean, I ain't gonna say God couldn't do that today, but it's like if somebody 100 years old, sorry, I had a phone call. If somebody have a baby at 100, like what is 30? What is 40? What is even 50? Like we just really have to get out of our heads about that. What are your thoughts on that? Like having kids in that later range?
Yeah, I agree with what you just said, to be honest. I think that a desire of your heart, like it, I think it'll be worth, I think it'll be so much worth the wait. Like I haven't been there, but I can imagine like women who have had that, like just the amount of like what they say, like when you're standing in those answered prayers, you know what I'm saying? Like I can imagine the fulfillment that they feel. It's probably hard while they're waiting for it, I'm sure, because like there is these society timelines, like, oh, you're not in your prime now, And so I don't know. I think that it's once that time comes, like I'm sure they feel like it's so much worth the wait,
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Kavaya. This was such a great conversation. I pray that those who are listening got some type of wisdom, some type of insight, some type of peace. If you're in this season and you've kind of been struggling, I pray that this conversation was helpful. Would you like to promote or share any services or anything that you have going on that the girls can connect with you for?
Yeah, sure. You can purchase my new book, Forward. It's a 40-day Christian devotional. The link is in my bio. And that's it. Thank you so much for
Yes.
having
Yes, thank you for coming on. And I'll also have the links to the devotional, her YouTube channel, all of that in the show notes as well.
right.
Thank you, Kabaya. See you, y'all. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.